Friends, our second lesson today is taken from the Gospel according to John, chapter 13, verses 31 through 38. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the cock crows, you will have denied me three times." This is the word of the Lord. Well, certainly we understand that parenting styles have changed generationally. I think many of us look back to how we were raised, and it's somewhat different than how parents raise their kids today. And certainly across cultures, there's big differences in the way children are allowed to speak to their parents and the things that parents will say to their children. So I just say that to put in context this sermon that I was listening to online this week. And the preacher is African-American. His father was Nigerian. And he tells this story about his childhood, that it was very strict when it came to church. He said that if the church was open, his family was there. They had to be there. And one day he mentions to his father that he would not like to go to church that day. So his father said, "That's fine, but I'll kill you. And then we'll have your funeral at the church. So either way, you're going to be in church today." He then said that every night before dinner, they could not begin to eat until every child had recited a scripture verse. So he said pretty soon he learned to say, "Jesus wept, let's eat." But he was talking about favorite scripture verses, and then he decided to turn it around and ask, "What is your least favorite passage of scripture?" And I thought about that for a second, and I realized, you know, there are a lot of passages that I don't like. For example, in the Apostle Paul's letter to Philemon, I don't like the fact that Paul is sending an escaped slave back to his master. That bothers me, okay? It bothers me just on principle. So there are a lot of reasons to not like a particular passage. But as I thought more about that issue, that question of what it is we might not like, a different question came to mind. What teaching of Jesus do you wish he had never given? What do you wish could not be there, all right? Because it's just something that makes you uncomfortable. And I thought about what some of the answers might be, and it does seem to me in terms of Bible studies and preaching and the reactions that I hear from people that perhaps one of the potential answers to that question would be, love your enemies. That of all the commands Jesus gives, that seems to be one that people have a great deal of trouble with and one that they kind of wish was not there. So we generally don't want to love our enemies. And as I thought about that a little more, it occurred to me that we want to love. So it's not obviously the command to love that's the issue. We love that first part. Love. Go ahead, love. Yes, we like that. It's a great feeling. It's a wonderful thing. The issue is who to love and how much to love them. Then we start to have problems. And that brings us to our passage today. A passage in which Jesus says, "I give you a new commandment," which, by the way, are the basis of the term Maundy Thursday in our church calendar, because that those words, new commandment in Latin, are mandatum novum, the new commandment. And so literally Maundy Thursday means it's a corruption of mandatum. And so it literally means commandment Thursday, this new commandment. But then he says, "I give you a new commandment." that you love one another. And at that point, you're probably thinking, how is this new? I've heard that before. When have you not told us to love? But then Jesus adds an explanation. He says, just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. Now, the reason that this is a very new standard is that the command that the disciples would have known from the time they first studied Torah as youngsters, if you thumb through the pages of that Torah that Pastor Kelly was showing the kids, you'd flip through there and you would see this command, love your neighbor as yourself. They would have known this from the time they were at a very young age, that this is what God had asked of them. But there's a problem with that command. See, if you think about it, we usually don't really love ourselves well. You see, at first thought, love your neighbor as yourself. It makes a certain amount of sense at first thought because we know that we tend to put ourselves first. We know that we tend to look out for number one. But when you think about some of those instincts, the self-centeredness, the egotism, the selfishness that makes us put ourselves above others, you can ask, is that really, though, self-love? Is selfishness, self-centeredness, really self-love? I don't think it is. It's unhealthy behavior that masquerades as love. In fact, we often behave in that way. We behave selfishly, we behave self-centeredly, not because we love ourselves, but because we're afraid. And fear is not a proper basis for love. And if we love our neighbors as ourselves, but we don't have a healthy perspective on what it means to love ourselves appropriately, then our love of others is going to be similarly distorted. I mean, for example, how many of us have experienced, for example, the unhealthy love of a possessive partner, whose possessiveness and jealousy was based in fear, but they thought it was love. So instead, Jesus gives us this new commandment, a new way of understanding what it is that God is asking us to do, and Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. The standard is no longer ourselves. The reference point is no longer how we treat ourselves. The standard is now how Jesus treats us. And this is both wonderful and scary. It's scary because it raises the standard to uncomfortable heights. I mean, again, think about how we treat ourselves. We often don't show ourselves grace and mercy and forgiveness when we mess up. We are often very, very hard on ourselves. And then we turn around and love our neighbors as ourselves by being as tough on them as we are on us. But Jesus loves, of course, with unlimited grace, unlimited mercy, unlimited forgiveness. To love one another as Jesus loved us then becomes a new challenge. And we shouldn't simply acknowledge that the challenge is there without understanding the full dimension of how daunting it is. So here's the reality. Reality is that we like to think of ourselves as being in sync with God, as being on God's side, or however you want to phrase it, as long as we are directionally in tune with God's commands. In other words, God says, love one another as I have loved you. And we think, okay, as long as I don't hate someone else, I'm okay. But the truth is this. Evil is when we're trying to head in the opposite direction. Okay, evil is when we're saying God says go this way, and we decide, you know, that we're going to head in the complete opposite direction, that we're going to hate where God says love, we're going to go for violence where God calls for peace, okay? That's evil. But incompleteness is sin. Imagine your kid's soccer team, you know. It isn't enough that your kid doesn't try to score for the other team. Okay? That would be bad, but it's not quite enough. I mean, can you imagine if your kid misses half the games, doesn't run very hard during the game, but says, you know, but I really want the team to win. Right? Kid's not a very good teammate. He's not trying harder. If he's not showing up when the game is on. And yet we try to delude ourselves in believing that we are solid players on God's team when we don't show up where God wants us to be. And when we don't play as hard as we are able to. Because we like to think, as long as we're pointed in the same direction, we're doing okay. It's not quite enough. We have to be willing to go as far as God would have us go. Peter thinks he can do it. Tells Jesus, I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus basically says, oh, really? You're going to deny me three times before the night is done. Because he speaks these words on the night of the Last Supper. In other words, he understands. Peter's going to get scared. Jesus is telling Peter, there will come a point when the price of loving me is going to be more than you're willing to pay. It's going to come soon. Yet the standard remains to love as Jesus has loved you. It's not a standard that we're going to perfectly achieve. No one has ever found those limits. Who has ever found the limit of God's love for us? And yet, this is why one of our core values is to share boundlessly. Because if we simply said that one of our values is to share, we would all be directionally aligned. We've all been taught to share. We all teach our kids to share. They get the plate of cookies in preschool and we teach them to share. But the call is not to simply be directionally aligned, but to go further and further and further than you thought you could go. We like to put limits on our sharing. But when did Jesus do that to us? You know, last Monday was the Boston Marathon. And there were so many inspirational stories from that race. I mean, now that it's been a few years since the bombings, you saw these incredible stories. I mean, you saw persons who had lost a limb and were running on prosthesis and complete the race this year. I mean, it was some incredible stuff. But when you think about marathons, you know, you listen to marathoners and they talk about the wall, right? And you hear them talk about that. They talk about the wall. All right. 26 miles they have to run, 26.2 miles. I mean, I get tired driving 26 miles. And so they talk about this wall that they hit at around the 20-mile mark. And I was reading an article about the wall, and they described it as that period in a marathon when things transition from being pretty hard to being really, really hard. It's the point where your body and mind are simultaneously tested. See, sometimes we hit that wall on loving others, on generosity, on patience, because life is a marathon. Relationships are a marathon. And sometimes in the midst of that, we're going to hit that wall. But what I found interesting in that article was some of the advice was among the pieces of advice they had for getting through the wall was this. They said, in order to be ready for this challenge, it helps to have a mission or a higher goal that you can call upon to trump what your body is suggesting. In other words, they were saying that when you hit that point in the marathon, think about why you were running it in the first place. They said, maybe you entered the marathon because you needed to prove to someone or yourself that you could do it. Maybe you were there for a cause. Maybe you were there, you know, for whatever reason it is. They said, when you hit that wall, it's not just a matter of pushing your body through. It was about remembering why you were running it in the first place. And you had to rely on that to get you past the wall, that you needed a higher goal to get you past it. Our higher goal is to serve God and to build the kind of world that God wants. And the foundation of that is to go out and to love as Jesus loved us. Love that is beyond fear. Love that is way beyond convenience. Love that is indeed without limits. It's a tough standard. It's a tough standard. But unless we acknowledge that that standard is there, unless we acknowledge that it isn't enough to simply be directionally aligned with God, but rather we have to be going as far as God would have us go, we'll never push ourselves past the wall to finish the race. Amen.